Come join me in the Brazen Head Pub in Dublin, Ireland, where we're going to listen to a famous comedian and storyteller, Bernie, from Cork.
Two men were sitting next to each other at a bar. After a while, one guy looks at the other and says, "I can't help but think from listening to you that you're from Ireland." "Yes, that I am." "So am I. And whereabouts from Ireland might you be?" "I'm from Dublin, I am." "Sure, and begorred, and so am I. And what street did you live on in Dublin?" "A little area it was. I lived on Maclara Street in the old central part of town." "Faith, and it's a small world, so did I. And to what school would you have been going?" "Well now, I went to St. Mary's, of course." "And so did I. Tell me, what year did you graduate?" "Well now, I graduated in 64. "The good Lord must be smiling down upon us. I can hardly believe our good luck at winding up in the same bar tonight. Can you believe it? I graduated from St. Mary's in 64 my own self." About this time, another guy walks into the bar, sits down, and orders a beer. The bartender walks over, shaking his head, and mutters, "It's gonna be a long night tonight. The Murphy twins are drunk again."
"Father, father."
"Oh, my dear child, Lana, what is the problem?"
"Father, father, my dog's just died."
"Aye."
"And I was just wondering, could you carry out the burial?"
"Burial of a dog? Certainly not. But check with the Reverend McClellan of the Church of Scotland. I think he can do a wee burial for you in a nice way."
Father, do you think it would cost much?"
"Well, I don't think so."
"Oh, do you think £1,000 would cover it?"
£1,000? Alana, you didn't tell me your dog was Catholic."
Okay, everyone, quiet, quiet, everyone. I want you to hear now. We have a new guest, another storyteller. Tonight's storyteller night in the Brazen Head Pub. We have tonight Emmett Kelly doing one of his stories called The White Cat. So give him an ear.
Ned Cotter was noted, but fierce fought the drink. One of the pledges he took only allowed him one drink a day. He settled for a pint. And he got into the habit of making that point about closing time or a little after it. And there was a bit of history attached to that too, and I might as well tell it to you while I'm at it. Ned had a white tomcat that used to follow him everywhere. He'd go up the stairs after Ned every night, and he would go into bed, and needed a bit of tweaking with the cat, and they had a little boxing match out through the banister of the stairs. When Ned had took his trousers off, he had put it in the seat of the chair, and the cat would make a hammock of that until the morning. He crossed the street every night after him, and the cat had sit in the windowsill of the pub until Ned came out. The cat was well known as the Bad Hate Me. People passing on the village night and seeing him sitting in the windowsill of Mishkir's pub knew that Ned Connor was inside having his daily imperial, as they used to call it, which he never went beyond, and his temperance brought him a little prosperity. You see, he had a fine, roomy house, and the wife, encouraged by the aunt, had begun to keep people, turned it into a lodging house. Two young guards used to have dinner there. The force was only in its infancy at the time. The garden wouldn't come in the house, and when they were like one of the family, here they'd go in and sit in the kitchen and throw their caps on top of the dresser. In the kitchen they came to know the cat, and they came to know about Ned's habit of going across the road to Mischief's pub for his daily pint after closing time. And knowing Ned so well that they'd never hit the pub while the cat was sitting outside the windowsill. Raiding pubs was almost a nightly occurrence, and at that time, for licensing laws were not as liberal as they are now. The weekly paper would be full of court cases. I started giving down on the paper myself when a guard at 12 o'clock at night, after being given assurance by the publican that there was no one on the premises, the guard went upstairs, opened the door to a wardrobe, and a man fell out. People go into auger holes rather than have their names in the paper, the same guard swore. That in another room he found three men sound asleep in a small bed with their claws up to their chins in a picture of innocence. What they didn't know was that their feet were cracking out the bottom of the bed. A wonder they didn't feel the cold, says the judge. How could this is the guard, and they're having their shoes on? But go back to Ned. I was in Michigan's myself one night. When we came, and even though it was gun closing time, there was a big crowd inside, and there was something in the village that same day. I think it was a bull inspection, and the publican was in no hurry to outlet him know that Ned was inside and the cat outside. He felt safe, at least for the length of time it took Nate to down one imperial pint. The talk was nice and leisurely, and Nate be only one halfway down the glass when there was a sharp knock at the front door. "Open up in the name of the law," Crane Deal says. "Nay, this must be strange guards, or led that he must be seen. Cat clear," says the publican. Frightened by an endorsement against his license, out the back he began to pour drink down the shore into another second. Lights were out, total eclipse. And there was, I can only describe, as a stampede towards where we thought the back door should be. We were going in presses and closets and everywhere when we found out the door. The first of the crowd went bolting back like a squad of rabbits as they meet the ferret in the turn of a burrow. There was another gap, do you see, at the back. Yet no, we made for the stairs, and some of us got out the upper window onto the roof of a shed, and the plan was, if we geography was correct, we'd get down into that tenable yard, did make our good our escape. And you know, I'm going to say, ye know that a corrugated iron roof of a shed on a wet night is an awful slippery place. The legs were taken from under one fella, and he went sliding down and fell 10 feet on top of God only knows. Which I could not repeat here what he said. Had hard lean himself straight up, and another fella fell on top him. Well, there was one large corporation of a man that they told me after that he was home on holidays from America. I don't know about that, but we were all hanging out. And blessing over tonight. The man didn't lose his balance and come crashing down in the flat of his back in that tin roof, bringing all of us down with him in such a report. Calls pigs, geese, and animals into the vicinity, woke up as we were skating down the roof and fell on top of one another into the black hole of Calcutta. Then you heard language. Drink lubricates the tucking machine, and it like don't kick and make matters worse. Well, whatever had happened down into the publican in the yard we fell. The police were there before us. Our names were taken, and so we had all the Lord our work for nothing when it came out on the street. Ned Connors went straight to the windowsill, but there was no sign of the white cat. He couldn't believe his eyes. But whatever look he gave, the bill on the school wall was near Connors' white cat, holding a loud conversation with a female member of his own community. Well, bad manners to anywhere for the white cat, says Ned, rubbing his shins. I'd have nearly gone without my imperial pint tonight if I had knew that you had a day. All the way across the pond in Canada, we have some tourists who came to our Brazen Head pub, and they're going to perform for you a song called Danny Boy. Celtic song called Danny Boy. Thank you. In 1979, the Pope recognized the Shrine of Knock as a significant pilgrimage spot for the world today. And my mother and father and some friends took a trip there, and I asked her to recount the story. Well, this is from her own words.
Our journey to Ireland in 1979. Edith and Jim and me, Marie, took a flight to London, the place of Edith's birth, and we had a party even on the flight over. We arrived in England tired but happy to be on our trip to Ireland via London. We spent a day exploring Edith's old haunts in the city, especially the East End where she was born. We left London by bus to Liverpool. We got a ferry from here to Dublin. It was an overnighter. We did not have any sleeping quarters, so it was a little rough, and although Doug and Jim seemed to enjoy singing, Doug had his harmonica. After arriving in Dublin, we took a bus across Ireland to the west coast and enjoyed Galway Bay. I think we hit every pub and church in our travels. One of the highlights for me was the town of Shanagolden on the Shannon River, where my Irish ancestors hailed from. We found Copse Hill, also called Fern Hill now, the tenant farmer, Paddy Fitzsimons, and family. We were welcomed with a thousand welcomes, poetry from Paddy. He showed us the old barn where the family copse once lived. He became for us an instant friend. Margaret, his sister, was so welcoming too. She looked after Paddy and his three children as their mother was in hospital and no longer able to care for them. We then headed to a farm area called Cow Park, found the old thatched roof home that was still in possession of a copse. Yes, Joe Copse, and I found him in the back 40, spoke with him, told him my name, Marie Copse, and asked his. He said, "I'm Joe Copse, and yes, 'tis a rare name indeed, be rarer still, as I am an old bachelor." After a short and lovely visit, we went to Copsewood College. It was near Cow Park. It was founded by Father Copse, who studied for the priesthood in France at the Douai Seminary at the time of the English overlords. He would be our great-great-great-uncle or something like that. Of course, all this time, we spent many hours in the pub listening to the people, their music. Doug managed to play his harmonica and was admired by many and enjoyed the wonderful company. We visited with many of Jim's Irish relatives as he came from and grew up in Ireland. So much history and many stories and songs as we walked about this beautiful green country. We also visited the Shrine of Knock on our way up to Donegal. I shall close with Hilaire Belloc's little rhyme. Wherever the Catholic sun does shine, there's always laughter and good red wine. At least I've always found it so. Benedicamus Domino. What a wonderful trip and such good friends. May they rest in peace.
Thank you, Mom. That was enjoyable. I want to add to this. This year, 2021, we see something very new happening. First of all, the year in the Hebrew calendar means to cover your mouth with silence. And I believe that the fulfillment of the apparition that happened in Knox will be this year. I think we're going to see the silence being broken as we understand the value of the family, the value of the children, the value of what children are worth in our world today. And I want to end this podcast with a song from my sister called Under the Rainbow. And you know, they always say that under the rainbow in Ireland, there's a pot of gold. Thank you, and God bless you all.
It's stunning, shiny out, sparkles on the snow. I think I'll take a walk to a good place that I know. sky so perfect blue. They come from over the rainbow, all this way it's true.
This is a power.